Hello and welcome to the TT Podcast. This is Chris Pritchard and I'm back here in the Comus Hotel on the Isle of Man for the Road to 2024 TT launch event. And what this means is we're now officially in TT countdown mode. Let's get a cheer. Woo! That's Henry, the producer. It's been an unbelievable year for the podcast. We've hit record listening figures. We've won Best Motorsport Podcast at the Sport Podcast Awards. And we've had some incredible guests from Davey Todd, Nathan Harrison, Cam Donald to Paul Phillips and many more. And of course, we've had Steve and Lee guiding me through it all. Without them, I'm literally nothing. At the time of the release of this podcast, it's only 8 weeks to go until the Senior TT, and that means 6 weeks to go from the first night of practice. And I'll tell you what, I am as excited as I have ever been for a TT. I cannot wait for TT24 to get underway. So with this in mind, the TT podcast team thought we'd try something a little bit different in the run-up to TT24. Over the next few weeks, we'll move away from the studio and onto the roads, bringing you TT news, interviews, predictions, random interviews from the back of cars, in pubs, you name it, we're going to be there. And directly from the events that are circled in all our riders' calendars in the run-up to the TT. We really do hope you enjoy this one. Don't forget, leave us a rating and a review. Roll titles! So for me, this is where TT 2024 starts. Although the racing and the practice might not start for a few more weeks, the TT launch is where everyone starts to get just that little bit giddy about the TT. And I'm currently sat in my car waiting to disembark the ferry into Douglas. Now the plan is, I'm going to head over to the hotel. I'm going to meet up with Steve, see what he's been up to the last couple of weeks since I've last seen him. And also, on the way there, hopefully, I'm going to stop off at a couple of places and catch up with a few of the riders. Connor, in the Craig. Not the first time you've been on the podcast. Probably the first time you've ever done a podcast in a pub, though.
Yeah, lap two on the TT podcast.
Pubcast. Maybe that's what we should start, a pubcast. Are you a beer drinker?
More of a wine.
Oh, are you?
Connoisseur.
Connoisseur. Nice. Yeah. What are we drinking? A nice Shiraz?
I mean, that's Sauvignon.
I don't know wine. Is that a white wine?
Yes.
It's slightly dry?
Yeah. New Zealand.
What do you have? Like, what's a good meal to have with a Sauvignon?
I'm thinking like some kind of pasta dish.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you cook at home?
Yeah, I do. Occasionally.
As long as it's beans on toast?
Yeah, just keep it basic. I'm into doing the queenies, cooking the queenies, right. A bit of white wine sauce.
I mean, I just about know what a queenies is. Majority of people listen to this will have no idea what a queenies is. Explain.
Well, it's quite a popular dish on the Isle of Man, but I tend to knock up a bit of a storm at home.
What is a queenie?
It's a fish. You fry it.
Is it like a clam? Is it like a
Yeah, it comes in a clam, basically.
Right.
A shell. So it's all packaged up locally, Isle of Man produce, etc. Big support of that. And so you can buy them from like our local fish shops if you like.
Fishmonger,
yeah. And just prep them at home and get them in the pan, get them golden brown looking, bit of white wine sauce.
Nice.
Bit of pepper on it.
Bit of pasta alongside it?
No, I put it on a bit of sourdough, just toast
a
bit of sourdough. Yeah.
That sounds pretty nice.
It's a proper Cummins dish.
I like it. I like the sound of that. I'm going to try some queenies when we come out. In fact, you can make me some next time we come for TT.
Yep.
So, talking to the TT, because obviously, if people don't know, you live at the north end of the island.
Yes.
The paddock is in Douglas in the south. Do you stay down here during TT or do you commute?
I go home every night.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah. Home comfort. I have my camper in the paddock, but I just use that to put my leathers and all on and get ready for racing.
Right, so you've got a base down there for when you arrive. Yeah. But you're back home. I suppose, there'll be a nice feeling of getting into your own bed every night.
It's brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, because I spoke to Dean earlier and he's now moved to Laxey.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah, he said the same. He's going to be travelling to and from home. But what about, like, when the roads close? You can get round. Do you go the A2 down the coast road and round there?
So I would, I'd go around the TT course.
Oh, do you?
Just follow the direction, of course, because there's no quick way of getting home, especially at TT. It's absolutely chock-a-block with bikes and cars and whatnot and supercars. So I just followed the track room. But it's all useful. You know, you can pick up where I was slow, maybe. I can
while the kids are
better.
Shouting in the back of the car.
Yeah, where we go for dinner. Just, but yeah, it's never a wasted sort of drive home, shall we say.
Nice. Connor, what are you up to now? Anything exciting?
Gonna go and fix some coffee machines, I think.
Oh, yeah. Mm. A few broke down.
No, they're all going. Touch wood.
Overuse. Is that what it is?
Well, that's a good thing, yeah.
Well, 100%, yeah.
We're busy. We're busy. There's plenty going on.
Good. Glad to hear it. Right, I'm going to let you go.
Thank you.
Cheers, Connor.
Thank you.
So it's the moment everybody's been waiting for on the podcast. The reintroduction of the man, the myth, the legend, Steve Plater. Welcome back to the Isle of Man. It's nice to see you. You all right?
It's fantastic now I'm finally here. What an experience getting to the Isle of Man.
But you know what? I think I'm the only person that had an absolutely plain sail across.
Yeah, but you're a rock star. You know, it's like you came early, you missed all the bad weather.
Yeah, they put a boat on just for me, you know.
I set off from home yesterday lunchtime to catch the ferry, and the weather's been that bad.
Which ferry? Liverpool?
No, it was Heysham to be right. 2 o'clock Heysham. No, 6 o'clock at Heysham. So I was due to leave home on the bike at midday. The weather came in bad, obviously, at home as well as everywhere else. And I can honestly say, I came over the Cat and Fiddle. You know where that
beautiful.
Is. Beautiful bit of road. I was doing probably 25 to 30 miles per hour. I very nearly got blown into the vehicles really? Coming the other way. I've never been so scared in my whole life riding here. Finally got to Liverpool.
Well, you said managed, a minute ago.
No, that was cancelled. So, I was then redirected to Liverpool to get the 9 o'clock boat. Managed to get there, it kept getting delayed.
Last night.
So I was still sat trying to dry out and thaw out in Kentucky Fried Chicken to get the shout from Davy Todd, one of my riders, that boat's cancelled. I'll then get another call saying, get to the airport, you're flying out in the morning. So I run up to John Lennon Airport, got in the Hampton Hotel, run a bath and thawed out for an hour in the bath. So that was my evening last night.
I think the first issue was you trying to get over here on a motorbike. We all knew the weather was going to be crap, and yet you're still...
It's a longer story, but I'm not going to go into that one.
Oh, God. But anyway, luckily you've made it, and by the looks of it, as I say, we're in the hotel, ready for the launch, and it looks like most of the riders who are supposed to be here are here, but some have had rougher rides than others.
McGuinness said that is the roughest ride he's ever had on the SeaCat last night.
And it's been going for 60 years now.
Yeah, exactly. You said it.
But across the way, obviously this is audio only, across the way I can see his new teammate.
Yeah. Hey, mate, he's on the pace.
This is the thing I was going to say. You've just come back from Donington, haven't you?
Donington Park, two-day pre-season test. Yeah, again, weather iffy, windy, but hey, that boy is... I know, I've heard him. I was listening to an interview with another publication earlier, and he was chirping and yapping on, and he's desperate to be recognised as a proper front-runner in BSB, which is fair, play to him. And he proved a point at Donington Park, you know. He was up there and on it, doing a great job, you know, and he'll be hoping to progress that side and bring that class through to the Isle of Man TT for the 2 weeks this year.
Well, I think it goes without saying he's going to bring it to the TT, but realistically, what could he be capable of at BSB level? Is it a flash in the pan, or do you think
he's got
something? No, I
think it's a flash in the pan, you know. I mean, he's obviously with a great team, you know, with a Honda setup. It's a busy team, obviously, this year. They've got, you know, I think a four-man team, Super Sport, Super Stock and Super Bike. So it's a busy year for him, but he'll be desperate to use all those flipping ingredients to get himself further up in his mind, hopefully try and get on the podium somewhere at BSB.
I think the red suits him as well.
Hey, listen. BSB is very competitive, as everywhere else, so he needs to knuckle down and try his best, obviously.
Yeah, I think he'll bring some good confidence from BSB. So, as I've said on the podcast earlier, and probably people will realise this now, we are on the Isle of Man. It is the TT launch today. This, for me, I don't know if it's the same for you and how it was previous, but the TT launch, for me, is the official countdown. It's the start of TT 2024.
Massively. Listen, we're nearly there already. You know,
I know.
It's crazy. You know, I can't remember how many days it is to start the TT, but you're only sort of talking sort of a big 5 weeks and you're getting ready to come, which is nothing, you know, and that's us talking about it. You know, my days of competing have gone. But, you know, for these guys, it's all kicking off very, very quickly. You know, they're going to leave the launch here tonight, Wednesday night, Thursday morning. They're going to shoot straight home. They'll all be jumping on airplanes and stuff going out to the first round of BSB in Navarra. So it's all revving and ramping up to a very busy season. And as soon as they know it, they're over at the first road race of the year, the Northwest, and then boom, it's TT time. So, yeah, looking good. A lot of changes for 2024. A lot of the riders on different teams, riding different bikes and competitive stuff. So there's an awful lot of these guys out there with big expectations for himself. And I'm looking forward to some of those changes.
So talking about Northwest 200 and another official BSB test coming up in Alton, we're actually going to be there. You're going to be there in a professional capacity, aren't you, Steve? Managing the team, telling the boys what to do. But I'm going to rock up with my microphone, hand you one over, and we can catch up with the rest of the boys and see how they're getting on in preparation for the TT, the big one.
I think what you really mean is I'm going to be multitasking. No, seriously, you know, straight back from Navarra, straight to Alton Park Bank Holiday weekend, but pre-Alton Park, two-day test, which, as you say, we're going to be there. We can catch up with everything and see how they've got on and see what their mindsets are after racing their bikes for the first time this year, which will lead us into, obviously, the race weekend, Alton Park, and then, obviously, Northwest. So it'd be great just to get behind the scenes a little bit and let everybody know that's listening exactly how the boys, what they're thinking and the way everything's progressing heading towards obviously the main event, which is the TT.
The big one. Steve, while we're here, obviously we're at one end of the island. The launch tonight is at the opposite end. So we're down in Douglas. The launch is up in Ramsey. I thought we could jump in the car together, head up across the mountain. And it's fair to say that Steve Plater is still the king of the mountain, right? The sector at least. So, while we're going up there, do you fancy giving me a few pointers for when I make my TT debut?
Do I need my passport?
No, don't worry about it. You're fine. As long as you've had your jabs, you're fine going north.
Hey, yes, mate. Obviously, you know it's a favourite part of my mindset, should we say, of the Isle of Man TT course. Yeah, I can teach you a few things over there.
Can we squeeze into my Robin Reliant, though?
Oh, listen.
Come on. Listen. Let's go.
I'll squeeze into anything with you.
Oh, my God. The moment I've been waiting for.
So here we go. Sector Steve is going to take you through one of his favourite parts. Now, for me, I used to get down to Parliament Square and think, right, here we go. I can kind of relax there. I'm really at home with the mountain section, which showed with the times, obviously. But you come into Ramsey Airpin, you have to be very careful with the airpin itself. You know, you've already been climbing all the way from Parliament Square, so you're uphill for such a long time. So it's really important to keep the momentum. You come off the airpin, first, second, third, fourth gear, and you're heading up towards the waterworks. Now, this section, you've got to be very careful. There's some very blind turning parts. You have to turn in very late on the second part. Back on the throttle, a little bit short circuit, brake hard, and then you just have to keep flowing all the way up to the gooseneck. A really, really late turning, flick right, just throw some gears, second, third, keep the bike nice and calm, keep that crank spinning as little as possible to help the bike get from side to side. It takes an awful lot of work to flick the bike right and left on the way through up to the gooseneck. Now this section of the track, has had a lot of resurfacing. We're just coming past the 25th milestone. We've got a short little straight past the big lay-by. We've got a left, right, past the wall. You have to be very careful not to stick your knee in the wall when you're flashing by on the right-hand side. And you've got a sharp left before the gooseneck. And really, once you get to the gooseneck, that's when you need the momentum. You start to push really hard. That's where the high speed starts. So you're running through the left. It's like a short circuit section, realistically. And even coming around in the car now, Chris is driving like Miss Daisy, but even my ears are popping already. So you come back to second gear. Some bikes are first back for the gooseneck. Get it paid off. There's always a big load of crowd on the left-hand side, all waving on the bank, and then you just throw in gears at the bike. It's so steep up here. So you're going first or second, all the way up the gearbox through to sixth gear, sticking to the right-hand side of the road. Of course, you know, there's plenty of room here to run through the first left, flat out. You're in sixth gear already, and even though it's a real steep climb, the bike's accelerating really, really quickly. Of course, you're not flat out on the bike, it's still pulling, but you're actually wide open on the throttle in sixth gear. You run through this left in fifth, Okay, we're running up the hill now. It's a real strong climb. This is not the mountain mile. This is before then, and it's probably even steeper. If you had time to look back over your right shoulder, is a beautiful view, obviously, of Ramsey and the sea. So we're into the 26th, which is a real fast right-hander. The fence has been moved back. You can use a little bit of the extra labour on the left-hand side as you exit the 26th and still keep pushing up the hill. Very quickly back into sixth gear and just kind of sitting back and relaxing for a short time and just having a good look at the bike, just having a good look at the dash, making sure everything's under control and there's no big problems. This part is quite relaxed. We're still climbing really, really steeply. My ears are popping again. I don't know about you, Chris, but you're still popping all the way up the hill. You're trying to keep as much momentum as possible. This first left-hander here is flat, okay, after the 26th. You go around the a long, long left. And then you're heading up to quite a sharp section. You go a left, a slight right kink, and then into a right-hander. Now this is where the party starts. You throw it into this right-hander here, try and mind the wall. Obviously it's all painted up, you can see it quite well, but you've got to be very careful not to catch it with your body to get back on the throttle as soon as possible. I did have somebody crash in front of me here. I didn't actually see the crash, but somebody ran across the road that survived a crash in the first race in 2009, first superbike race, and I actually ran off the side of the track and clouted all the bollards on the right hand side. We're running up to Guthrie's now. This is a really important section. You've got to carry the momentum all the way through here. This is where the mountain mile starts.
So we've just arrived at the Mount Innovation Centre for the Road to 2024. We're going to head in there now. We're going to pick up with me, Grace and Steve on stage. Take it away, guys.
John McGuinness, he's still here. Give him a round of applause. John McGuinness, MBE. TT legend, friend to the stars. You was noted earlier as a national treasure. Not a bad teammate, by the way. National treasure. Now, I'd just call you a hairy-ass bricky from Morecambe. However, you must be really proud of what you've achieved so far on this journey.
Yeah, like I say, it's been an amazing journey, and it's still giving as well. It's still enjoying it. I was just talking to people today, and I'm in a great place. I'm in such a happy place. I mean, I never thought I'd be stood up here at 52 still talking about it and just about to set off down Brayle with a number one plate on the old big Honda. So super proud to carry the number one plate. I've had a sort of unbelievably busy year. I've been all over the place. I've been a couple of cheeky holidays. I went to Bahrain F1. I went to Rossi's ranch. I saw Rossi's penis in the changing rooms, which was a bit weird. It's a funny looking thing. And yeah, just 2 days in Andalusia, 3 days in Estoril, 6 or 7 days on the launch of the 2024 Fireblazers at Donington last week. Did a personal best lap time at Donington. So I know I look rubbish, but I'm still motivated. I'm still pretty passionate about it. And yeah, new bike, new teammates, loads of little cool things to be excited about. And, you know, I get to ride the brand new bike next week in Spain. So yeah, job is still flying. It's good.
You know, the intro earlier was the three aliens at the moment. One of them is now your teammate. You know, it's a big team. Obviously, two Harrisons and yourself on the roads, even more at short circuit. How does that make you feel? Do you feel like the old bloke doing a bit of teaching, taking the kids to school, or you still got that passion to try and take it to Dean Harrison?
Honestly, mate, I haven't got the pace of Dean. Dean's just gone that one step ahead, and I'm actually nipping at his ear to try and get some information off him to see if he can teach me a little bit. And I've been watching Peter's 136-mile-an-hour lap, trying to learn off that. But, yeah, I've got all that experience. I mean, I've done 109 starts. The next one's going to be 110, which is never thought I'd ever achieve that. So, great lad is Dean. I have a lot of time. I've had some fantastic teammates from both Dunlops, you know, to Connor, who's in the room, and so many different and interesting folk. And Dean is an interesting guy, and he's served his time. And now that he's got to win, I can't win, and I don't have to win. So I'm pressure's off me a little bit. And we've got Nathan, and I didn't do a great job last year. I ended up crashing, didn't he? So I didn't even get him on the grid last year. So, but no, I do. We've got a young lad who's starting his journey. We've got a guy who's right at the sharp end. We've got myself in the middle, and you know, if I can give a little bit back to the sport and get these guys going, you know, my job role's slightly changing, a bit more of an ambassador and other things. But deep down, I'm still a racer. You know, it was funny at Donington. I was looking at James's times and Michael's and Hutch's and Connor. I thought, see if I can beat him here. And we all go there, and it's like, oh, just cruising around, bollocks. We're all having a go. You know, we all want to be the fastest road racer. Toddy was the fastest road racer. Well, Peter and Dean in Superbike. But yeah, no, I was going okay. So I'm feeling in a good shape. Whether I can't run the front end, no chance. You know, if a bit of luck, if you scrape on the podium, that would be epic, you know.
That was going to be my next question. You know, obviously, a bit of a prediction and what you think you can achieve. Obviously, it goes on weather and various things that are happening, but so you're still confident you might just sniff a step on that box?
Oh, honestly, it would be the icing on the cake for me to stand on that podium. I've done it 47 times and, you know, sort of James was saying there, when you ride past it, you're sulking a bit as a rider. You know, you always want to be in there and get on the podium with the boys and listen to your anthem. There's a possibility of scraping on there. If I match what I did in 15 and a little bit more, there's definitely a possibility, but there's got to be a few big guns, you know, out of the equation now. But other than that, if I've done my best, I enjoy riding my bike, the sun's shining, I do the best I can and cross that line and get on the ferry on the way home, I'll be a happy John McGuinness.
You've had a huge amount of highs at the TT, quite a few lows, chain snapping. What do you think? What's your best achievement in your head, TT?
I'm in such a fortunate position where I've been, you know, leading races, and that sort of probably 2015 was probably my finest hour. Really, I was a bit. They wrote me off a bit. I wasn't on the pace at the beginning of the week, and they all said I was too old, I was too fat, and etc.
It must have been the radio, not the TV.
Not the radio, no. It was one or two mumbles under people's breaths and a bit of sniggering, one thing or another. And it's weird. I get motivated in different ways, and you know, I knew that I could do better than I did, and it was special 15 because I was wrote off, and I rolled my sleeves up and come out boxing. But things like 2007 was special for me. To that centenary year, the first 130, and you know, the special bits that you don't really realise is when you come in to his enclosure and your family's there and everybody's dead proud, and Murray Walker was there, God rest him, and he was in tears. I thought he'd fallen over or something. But he just said, I never thought I'd ever see the first 130, because he witnessed the first 80-mile an hour lap, 90-mile an hour lap, 100-mile an hour lap. So things like that really stick in my mind. But I've had so many, like I say, amazing memories, and I'd love to live it all again, but I can't. But, you know, at the minute, I know where I am on the track. I know I'm in a decent... I know I'm fat and all that. We all take the piss, but... You know, in my head, in my own head, I'm all right. I'm good. More of it.
Who wants to see him on the podium?
I've got a deal with my brother, my younger brother. If I get on the podium, I'm going to do a nude streak down the prom. So,
who doesn't want to see him on the podium? It's always a pleasure to interview and to speak to this legend. Please put your hands together, John McGuinness. Thanks, guys.
And breathe. I'm so stressed, Grace. I'm like a cat on a hot tin roof right now. So just to put this into context, we've just finished the TT launch for 2024. Yep. One or two minor technical difficulties, I think, but all in all, another one ticked off. Are you happy with how it went?
Yeah, it went smoothly. All the riders were up for it, and that's the main thing, isn't it? Everyone had a lot to say. It was great to speak to some of the big contenders this year to get their thoughts, and some surprising answers as well. So the launch is always great for that, in getting that insight before the big day in a few weeks.
I'm going to throw you under the bus then. What surprised you the most in terms of answers?
Yeah, I think what surprised me the most was Dean's response to, I asked him whether this Honda, this bike, is that going to see you on the top step more? And I thought he was going to say, this is what I need. But actually, he was a bit more reserved. So I don't know. He says he's done testing on it. Maybe he needs to do a bit more testing. Maybe he just needs to get those first few practice days out of the way. And then he'll feel confident on the bike round this course, because you can't replicate this anywhere else.
So, Grace, I'm going to bring Steve into this one, because he is just sat here. He doesn't have a mic, so hopefully you can pass the mic across. I'm going to say that Dean got on that bike, and in the first couple of laps, he knew if this bike was capable of winning. I just don't think he wants to say it. What do you think, Steve?
No, I disagree.
All right,
no,
what fairness. Do I know?
Because Dean rode it for the first time at Donington Park, mm-hmm. you know, just before this event. So a really, really dangerously windy two-day test where nobody got near last year's qualifying pace on superbikes. They're still going fast and they're still trying, but Dean's a very honest person, you know, and he's not one for blowing his own trumpet or getting overexcited, and he would rather talk himself down a little rather mm-hmm. than bull himself up. I suppose to be accurate with my answer, I think he just needs more time to get a feel for the bike and to, it's obviously a fabulously competitive team. It's a great new package, a great new bike, but like we've been harping on about all night here at the launch, there's a load of aliens out there that are going super quick and he doesn't want to start spouting his mouth off. He can beat him straight away.
Yeah, fair point to both of you, I guess, on that one. I just think, you know, when it's one of those moments where you've been riding something for so long and it becomes like an old pair of slippers and then you jump onto something new and you're like, oh, yes. Like, I can see myself doing stuff on this. Not necessarily being ready to set up, necessarily set up and ready to race, but getting on it and having that first initial feeling, you must have experienced that, jumping on a bike and going, oh, this bike is capable.
Yeah, without doubt. But, you know, you've got to understand, he's just walked in somebody else's front room as well. It's a complete load of strangers. you know, I'm talking about the team because
it's the analogy.
He's just gone into a big, massive setup team. I mean, his previous team has been with for quite a few years, as we've mentioned, and is a fabulous team. But it's a little family kind of type of atmosphere where he's gone into a corporate setup, and like I said, just walked into a completely alien front room where you're trying to find your feet, be accepted, trying to get to grips with the bike. You know, and it's not easy. It isn't. But
no. Listen,
when that flag flickers down on Glencrutchery Road, he'll forget all of that. He'll be rocking and rolling.
Full gas. Talking of Glencrutchery Road, Grace, you'll be spending the majority of your days there because you're coming back for the, as the TT broadcast host.
Why are you booing?
Because I want to do it. Not fair. Everybody gets my jobs. But after tonight's performance, I'll be surprised if I've got a job for next year. But
yeah,
you're going to be on there.
Still very much in the thick of it, though.
I am in the thick of it. Yeah. It is the TT by CP, sponsored by CP. So, what other exciting things are you looking forward to seeing when you get back here in a couple of weeks' time?
Yeah, well, like you say, I'll be spending a lot of my time around the grandstand, so easy access to the ice cream van,
mm-hmm.
but also easy access to the winner's enclosure. I'm really excited to get back in that atmosphere again. It was so exciting last year when the top three pull in, everyone's elated, the excitement's high. So I'm very much looking forward to that. But also I do hope that I get out on the course at some point. So last year I did some broadcasting from Bradham Bridge, and that was really, really good because it's quite a dynamic area of the course, so you get to see the bikes flip-flopping through, so that was great. So I'd love to go back out on the course at some point if I can, and yeah, let's just hope that the weather is just as good as last year. Not sure if the chances of that happening will go in our favour, but we can only hope, and you never know what's going
to
happen.
It feels too good to be true to have two TTs on the bounce with weather like that.
We can hope.
That's it for this episode of the TT Podcast. If you've enjoyed it, as always, please leave us a rating and a review wherever you're listening. We would really appreciate it, wouldn't we, Steve?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. We'll be back next week with more guests and features from across the island. And here's a little teaser of that episode now.
And then I got my Super Twin, which I've got a new sponsor for, which is going to be really cool. And nobody knows yet.
Give us an exclusive.
No.
Can we guess?
I mean, you can try, but I'm not going to let you know.
Only fans.
Maybe. Is it? No.
I've nailed it. Hey, exclusive here. Pete's starting his own OnlyFans. I think he'd do pretty well.
Yeah, I might do. Yeah,
I mean, I wouldn't subscribe to it, I'll be honest.
Well, I mean, even if it's free.
I'm a Yorkshireman. I probably would. Yeah. Make sure you follow us for all the latest news and features at iomttracers.com. And don't forget to check out TT Plus, which is ttplus.iomttracers.com, and you can sign up for free. And don't forget, last thing, we are on socials at TT Racers Official. Until next time, See you later, Steve.
See you, buddy.
Sounds like someone subscribed to Steve's OnlyFans. See you later.